So, after we spoke last time a little about the political situation in Israel, today we're going to get into the issue of giving away parts of Eretz Yisrael in exchange for peace. We'll talk about a little later where Rav Ovadia Yosef himself, who is the most lenient on the issue, he says that you have to make sure that it's definitely going to be a peace, a true peace, that we can trust the Arabs and Arafat. And that really was the weak link, even in his own opinion, because eventually he saw that you can't trust Arafat. Sorry? Right. Well, yeah, but theoretically. So that's the first point. Another, the major first point when we're talking about giving away parts of Eretz Yisrael, even in exchange for peace, is that I'll give you a klal, you always have to be suspicious of new questions. Throughout the Tanakh, we had a lot of enemies who wanted to take away the land of Israel. And how is it that nobody, whether in Sefer Shoftim or Sefer Shmuel Bet, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Bet, nobody ever thought of this idea of giving away land in order to get peace?
Because of the Pasuk.
Sorry?
Because of the Pasuk in
Bamidbar. Oh, so whenever a new question comes up today, 3,300 years after Matan Torah, the first thing that you have to do is look for precedents. And we see that the precedent in the Tanakh is that Am Yisrael always went to war to protect Eretz Yisrael. We never said, you know, you could take it, you could take part of it, or let's just have peace. And that really is point number one. Point number one is precedence that Am Yisrael always fought to keep Eretz Yisrael.
So why would we give it away?
Right. Why should today be any different? And that is the first point. Point number two, that it's the promised land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it to give us. And actually he gave it to us, right? In 1948, in the War of Independence, in the Balfour Declaration beforehand, in the Six-Day War. And in general, you know, lahavdil, if somebody gives you a gift, you know, Bezrat Hashem, you'll see this when you get married, we got like 7 challah covers for our wedding. And the most natural thing in the world is when your friends get married to give, you know, to pass at least one or two of them on, you know. But you've got to make sure, that was what my wife wanted to be sure, that you don't give it to the person who gave it to you. You see that? And the same thing regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he gave us the gift of Eretz Yisrael, it's obviously offensive to give it away to other people. And that is point number two. You don't give away, I should say, it's offensive to the giver, it's offensive to give away Hashem's gift. And when he promised the Brit Ben Eptarim, when he promised us Eretz Yisrael, the idea is that in Judaism, we believe that God helps those who help themselves, and especially after he gave us Eretz Yisrael, it's that much more severe to give it away to others. You know, Mela, nobody's talking about going up and conquering the East Bank of the Jordan, which is also Eretz Yisrael, but once Hashem already gave us something, how can we give it away? You don't give away your mother. You don't give away even your kid brother. You know, there are certain things that you just don't give away. And that's just in general, seichel yashar, you know, common sense. But let's get into the sources. Maybe just one last point before we begin. This idea is of giving away land for peace is a dangerous precedent. If we give them part of Eretz Yisrael, then they'll ask for more, and they'll ask for more, and they'll ask for more. And I remember when I was in high school, there was a problem of Jews getting mugged. And there was no Eruv in anywhere outside of Muncie. And Jews had a problem, because if you're getting mugged and the drug addict, you know, he wants money, and he doesn't understand that it's Shabbat and you don't have a wallet, you know, he's just going to get, it could be dangerous. So one of the rabbis, I won't mention his name, but one of the leading rabbis, Orthodox rabbi, said we should begin telling the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, to walk around on Shabbat with a $20 bill inside their shoe, which is carrying with a shinui, right? It's only a sort of midrabanan, but it'll save their lives. And then other rabbis said, what if the muggers raise the price to 50, or 100, or 1,000? In other words, the problem of giving in is that you're not satisfying. When you give a lion a piece of meat, you're not satisfying his hunger. You're just showing him where his next meal is going to come from. And that is a logical problem of... and this is problem number three, logical problem of what's called in Hebrew, inlet of arsof, right? That they'll just ask for more. But the main point that I want to get into is the sources, okay? Because that's what you want to tell me. Okay, so let's look together in source one. Bamidbar lamed gimel nun gimel, lag nag, it's easy to remember. Vorashtem et haaretz vishavtem ba, ki lachem natati et haaretz lareshet ota. Now, usually this pasuk is referred to as mitzvat yishuv haaretz. This is the source of living in the land of Israel. But a lot of people don't notice that there are two verbs here. What are the two verbs here that if we want to do the mitzvah, we have to fulfill? Right. Vishavtem is to live in the land of Israel, but there's also vehorashtem. And what is vehorashtem? And this is mitzvah number one. Let's look in source number two, where the Ramban, he defines it in the longest terms, and as we'll see in the Pitchei Tshuva, everybody quotes this Ramban lahalacha. Mitzvah revi'it, the fourth mitzvah that he adds to the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, shenitztavenu lareshet haaretz, we were commanded to conquer the land asher natan ha'el yidbarach v'itale lavotenu, lavram liitzchak ul Yaakov. This is the mitzvah of conquering the land of Israel. Velona azva biyad zulatenu mina umot. We're not allowed to leave the land of Israel in the hands of other nations. Kal v'chomer, if it's already in our hands, that we're not allowed to give it away. O lishmama, we're not allowed to leave the land barren. Right? There are two aspects. One is to conquer the land, and that it should be under Jewish rule. And the second, not to leave it barren. Right? Even if we conquer the land of Israel, for example, Yehuda v'Shomron. A lot of Yehuda v'Shomron, the Negev, the Galil, they're not built up. And that's the mitzvah, v'yishavtem. Now, where is the source? V'u amru lahem, this is what Hashem commands us on the pasuk that we saw before, b'midbar lamed gimel nun gimel. V'orashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba, you shall inherit or conquer the land and settle it. For I have given it to you, and you shall settle it. Now, this is mitzvah number one. Mitzvah number one, in terms of the mitzvot, or halachic issues, mitzvah number one is yirushat ha'aretz.
According to the Ramban?
Right, but as we'll see, this is quoted by everyone. All the poskim rishonim et achronim, that's a quote from the Pitchei Tshuva, hold like the Ramban. Okay? There is the mitzvah to conquer or rule Eretz Yisrael. And notice what the Ramban does. He quotes the pasuk that we saw, V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'shavtem ba. And then he defines it, Vilona azva biyadzulatin min homot olishmama. Vilona azva biyadzulatin min homot. We shall not leave it in other hands. Which part of the mitzvah is that? Which verb?
To cut rule.
Right. That's the olashem. Okay, so these are the words, the definition of the Ramban. Vilona azva, we shall not leave her, biyad zulatenu, in the hands of others, min ha'umot, other nations. Vishavtem is o lishmama. Okay, we're not allowed to leave the land barren. We're not allowed to leave the land in the hands of other nations.
And this is what, the first part is what concerns our topic. And then the Ramban goes on. V'nichpal b'ze ha'inyan b'mitzvah zu b'mkomot acherim. And this mitzvah is reviewed many times. By the way, when a mitzvah is reviewed, for example, I think it says that you're supposed to be nice to the ger. I think 36 times. What does that mean about that mitzvah?
Really important.
Right. Right, when a mitzvah is reviewed over and over, that's a sign that it's really important. The same thing when it says in many, many different places, the mitzvah, Voreshtem et ha'aretz v'rishtem ota, that's a sign that it's important. Bo ureshu et ha'aretz, come and inherit the land, asher nishbati lavotechem, that I've given to your forefathers. Okay, paragraph bet is another point. Upireto talehem b'mitzvah zo kula bigvuleha umetzareha. The Torah in several places defines the boundaries of the land of Israel. Kamoshe Amar, for example, Uvo hare mori vel koshchinav ba'arava bahar bashvela ba'negev v'chof hayam. Why does the Torah define the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael many times? Exactly. Shelo yanichu mimenu makom. That we should know where it is a mitzvah to conquer, where it's a mitzvah to settle, where it's a mitzvah to live, and where not. V'araya shezo mitzvah amru yidbarach b'inyan amaraglim. Another interesting proof. What happened when Am Yisrael did not want to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Chet amaraglim. Exactly. Hashem punished us very severely for 40 years. And the Meshech Chochmah points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave his own kavod in Chita Egel.
His kavod?
Yeah. In other words, when people, because he's humble. When Am Yisrael served the golden calf, did Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them, right? Moshe asked, and Hashem forgave. But Hashem did not, this is the Meshech Chochmah, he says, Hashem did not forgive Am Yisrael for talking bad about Eretz Yisrael in Chet HaMeraglim. And that's why that whole generation was wiped out.
What about the Ephes?
Yeah?
Ephes Kiyazah'am, wasn't that the biggest Chet of the Meraglim according to the
Rambam? So that's what we're talking about.
But he did punish them for that.
Wait, you're talking about Chet HaMeraglim?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, yes. Chet HaMeraglim, Hashem punished them. Chet HaEgel, He didn't punish them. That's exactly what the Or Sameach is saying. The Meshech Chochmah and Or Sameach, same person. Remer Simcha Midvinz. And not only that, it jumped down two lines. What is it called when the Meraglim did not want to go and conquer the land of Israel? Katuv v'tamru et pi Hashem Elokechem. They rebelled against God. In other words, not to conquer the land is considered rebellion against God. Okay? Now, one of the questions is this just to conquer the seven nations of Canaan or to conquer it from anyone, any nation? The Ramban deals with that in paragraph Gimel. We're obviously shortening the Ramban because we want to finish the topic. Paragraph Gimel. Va'al tishtabesh v'tomar. Don't make the mistake and say, Ki ha-mitzvah hazot hi ha-mitzvah b'melchemet shiva amamim, shenitztavu la'abdam, shenayamar ha-charayim tacharimim. Ein ha-devar kein. Don't make the mistake and think that there's just a mitzvah to fight against the seven nations. That is not the case. And by the way, just logically, how do I know, how do you know that it can't just be a mitzvah against the seven nations?
Because Hashem makes everything, like, I mean, like, Mitzvah the Torah is eternal, so if, like, if it was just, like, against the nations, then they would still be around.
Even more than that.
When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the goal of the mitzvah is that it should not be in the hands of other nations, that means any other nation. The goal of the mitzvah is that it should be in Jewish hands.
And if so, what's the difference if it's the seven nations or the Arabs or anybody else? Right? The ideal is that it be in Jewish hands. And the Ramban goes on and proves it, but like I said, it's pretty logical. And paragraph Dalit. Ve'amru, ve'in tomar mikneima kibesh David aram naharayim v'aram tsufa. So why did David HaMelech go and conquer outside of the promised land? Ve'en mitzvot noagocham, there's no mitzvot tatluyot ba'aretz there. Amru David asa shelo ketorah. David HaMelech, unfortunately, did not follow the halacha. Because first you have to conquer the land of Israel before you go conquer other countries. And the final paragraph, paragraph A. ואומר אני כי המצווה שהחכמים מפליגים בה והיא דירת ארץ ישראל, the mitzvah that Chazal praised so much is the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel, where it's under Jewish rule, having a Jewish state. עד שאמרו, till Chazal said, כל היוצא ממנה ודר בחוץ לארץ יהיה ביניך כעובד עבודה זרה. Whoever lives in outside of the land of Israel, it's as if he is serving idols. And he goes on to say that living in Israel is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. What is that talking about? When we have a Jewish state. The main mitzvah, the entire mitzvah, is only when we have a Jewish state. If Jews live here, like they did throughout history, there were always some Jews in Hebron, in Yerushalayim, in Tveria, in Tzfat, right? Handful of Jews, even before the first or second Aliyah. That was not the total mitzvah, because they were living in the land. They did vishavtem, but they did not do vahorashtem. Right? It's only half of the mitzvah. You know what? Let's jump for a second to the Yeshua of Marko in source 4, who talks about this explicitly. Liara was with us when we did this. I don't think you were. The Yeshua Malka was asked in 1891, Tafresh Nun Aleph, about the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. In 1891, is it a mitzvah? There's no Beit HaMikdash, there's no Mashiach. And he answers, Bizman hazen shenishtana bezrat Hashem yitbarach letova, said, thank God, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael has changed for the good. Hein besakanat hadrachim, it's no longer dangerous to go to the land of Israel. This is already in 1891. Vehein mitzad aniyut. Also, the economy has improved. Again, if this is in 1891, what would he say today, more than 100 years later, where Israel is one of the strongest economies in the world? So he says that Baruch Hashem, things have changed for the good. It's no longer dangerous to live in Eretz Yisrael. Vadaihi mitzvah gdola. It's definitely a great mitzvah. Skip down to what's important for our topic. Ela hayirusha vayeshiva ke'adam oseh betoch shelo. But the main mitzvah is to conquer and settle the land like a person does in his own property. Lichbosh Eretz Yisrael shetia tachat yirushatenu, to conquer the land of Israel, that it should be under Jewish rule. Lo albiya rekanit shel ata. He says, not like in 1891, when the land is in the hands of the Ottoman Turks. And yeah, even in 1891, it's a great mitzvah, as he said, but it's not the full mitzvah. Because the full mitzvah is to build the land of Israel when it's under the control of Am Yisrael. In other words, yeshiva without Yerusha is only half the mitzvah. And again, the point is very clear, that the land of Israel, it's a mitzvah to be under Jewish rule. Now, Esther asked, is this just the Ramban's opinion, or is this accepted lahalacha? So in source 3, I brought for you the Pitchei Tshuva, whose job on the Shulchan Aruch is he summarizes the Rishonim and the Achronim, especially when they're machlokot. He summarizes how the halacha is. Hine haramban mana mitzvah zu bichlal mitzvot mikra devirishtemot avishavtemba. As we just saw, the Ramban counts this as a mitzvah deoraita. V'chi hishkula neged kol mitzvot, and it's equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. Jump down. V'imken kol hazmanim shavim l'kiyum mitzvah. He says, the halacha is like the Ramban, that all times are equal regarding this mitzvah, whether there is Mashiach, whether or not, whether there is Beit HaMikdash or not. V'chein mivu'ar mikol haposkim rishonim v'achronim. And this is clear from all the poskim, all the rishonim, all the achronim, shekatvu shekofin aisha sheta'ale imo kepashta demanitin. Do you remember we spoke about the Mishnah in the last parak of Masechet Ketuvot, Daf Kuf Yud, that says that if a man or a woman, one of the spouses, does not want to make aliyah, the other one can force, even a woman can force her husband to make aliyah with him, or the Beit Din forces him to give her a get.
This is source 3.
Right. And the Pilchei Tshuva says everybody brings this la'alacha. Why? Because there is a mitzvah. Bizman hazeh, in our time of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael includes Yerushat Eretz Yisrael, because everything gets back to the pasuk of Bamidbar Lamed Gimel Nun Gimel. To summarize, that's point number, mitzvah number one, the mitzvah of Orashtem et Haaretz v'Yishavtemba, to conquer and rule Eretz Yisrael, as is clear from all the Rishonim and Achronim, who cite this halacha. There are those that thought of saying that the Rambam says that it's only a mitzvah regarding the Sheva Amei Kenan, the seven nations, and that maybe it's not a mitzvah to conquer the land from Arabs, from other nations. Where do they get this from? Well, the Rambam, in Source 5, Hilchot Melachim, Perakei Halacha Aleph, he writes, Eina melech nilcham tchila ele milchemet mitzvah. A king, source number 5. A king, before he goes to any optional wars, by the way, what's an optional war? Yeah, but what is? What would
it's
be?
It's
starting.
It's not for getting back land. Defense. It's not for fighting against
all offense, not defense.
Oh, yeah, but what offensive war? We'll see in a second. The ezohi milchemet mitzvah. What is an obligatory mitzvah? Zo milchemet shiva amamim. To conquer the seven nations, or to conquer the land of Israel. And the question is the Rambam just talking about the seven nations, or is he talking about generally conquering the land of Israel? Umilchemet Amalek, the second type of mitzvah, milchemet mitzvah, is to fight Amalek. And the third type of milchemet mitzvah is Ezrat Yisrael miyad tsar sheba aleihem, a war of self-defense. So we know all the wars of Tzahal have been wars of self-defense. Remember we discussed this in the context, of the mitzvah of boys joining the Israeli army. But the question is, what is a milchemet reshut? So you said so pretty clearly, let the Rambam explain his own shita, because he clarifies it in Source 6, in his commentary on the Mishnayot, in Amasechet Sota, Perakhet Mishnah Vav. Milchemet Shiva Amamin. This is the question. When the Rambam says that the mitzvah is to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and he says it's the mitzvah to conquer just the seven nations, is that just the seven nations? So according to that, maybe today there's no mitzvah? Continues the Rambam. Veshemilchemet shar ha'aratzot, what is milchemet reshut? Conquering other lands, shel shara umot, other nations in other lands, that is milchemet reshut. So the question is, what would the Rambam say regarding conquering from Arabs in Eretz Yisrael. Do you all see the question? She says very clear it's a milchemet mitzvah. Because what is a milchemet? Those are the two options. What is a milchemet reshut? To conquer other nations outside the land of Israel. But to conquer the land of Israel, the Rambam says, is also a mitzvah. So when he talks about the seven nations, that is including everything. But the truth is, even without this Rambam, if the whole question is, who is the mitzvah to conquer? Today, as we said before, the issue isn't conquering. Right? Hashem already gave us the land in wars of self-defense. We're not getting up to go and conquer. We already have the land. So the mitzvah is that it has to be under Jewish rule, that we shouldn't leave it in the hands of other nations. What's the difference? What other nations?
Wait. But how do you know war design on them today?
That's the point. It's irrelevant because the Rambam says the mitzvah is to conquer the land of Israel. The mitzvah is to conquer the land of Israel because...
So like the Shar HaGubor are trying to fight against Israel, then it becomes a Mechamet mitzvah because it's self-defense.
No, that's true, but that's not the issue here. The issue here isn't an issue of self-defense. We did have to defend ourselves in 48 and 67, and that's how we liberated the parts of Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda v'Shomron, for example, Yerushalayim. Okay? So that's how we got it. But once we have it, the Rambam agrees that you're not allowed to give it away. Okay? You see the difference. I'm saying even if you want to say that the Rambam says that the Milchemet Mitzvah is just against the seven nations, which he doesn't, it does make a difference, because today we're not talking about going and conquering, we're talking about holding on to.
Right.
And that, the Rambam definitely agrees. But b'chol mikra, we saw in source number 6 that the Rambam also says that to conquer the land of Israel is a milchemet mitzvah, not just for the seven nations, but for all nations. So you got that, or should I go over it again?
So a milchemet reshut would be like if Israel went to... out of Eretz Yisrael,
exactly.
Like fighting for reasons other than like self-defense and conquering the land and
right.
Fighting Amalek.
Exactly.
Why would they do that?
To, like David HaMelech did. That's what the Rambam mentions. Nachum. It was an offensive war for the economy. Say Israel today would want to go and conquer Saudi Arabia so that we will become wealthy and have a lot of oil.
We wouldn't do that though, right?
Right. But I said even theoretically that would be a Milchemet Reshut.
So like 1967 and 1948 were all Milchemet Mitzvah.
Correct. Okay, let us go on to point number 2. Mitzvah number 2. Is source 7. In Dvarim Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Ki yaviacha Hashem Elokecha el haaretz asher ata basham al rishta. Hashem is bringing you to the land that you are going to come and conquer it. V'nashal goyim rabim mipanecha. Hashem will remove many nations from before you. Hachiti v'girgashi v'emori v'aknani v'aprizi v'achivi v'ayvusi. Shiva goyim rabim v'atzumim mimecha. These seven nations, even though they're stronger than you, Hashem is going to move them away and give the land to you. Unitanam Hashem Elokecha lefanecha v'ikitam. Hacharim tacharim otam. You shall obliterate them. Lo tichrot lembrit. You shall not make a covenant with them. Ve'lo tichonem. What does that mean, lo tichonem? Oh. So the shoresh, you always look for the shoresh. Anybody know what a migrash chanaya is in Hebrew? Chanion, that's a parking lot. You're not allowed, it's from the word lachanot. You're not allowed to let them park in the land of Israel. And the Gemara in Source 8 in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Dav Chaf Amud Aleph, teaches us this halacha. Ein mochrin lahem, you're not allowed to sell to non-Jews Afilu b'mechubar lakarka. You're not allowed to sell them trees that are connected with the land. Avol mocher hu mishi katzitz. You can sell fruit to non-Jews, but you can't sell trees to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Why not? We'll see.
A tree is a tzaddik, no?
Sorry?
Isn't like a tree a tzaddik?
Oh, that's symbolic. But we'll see here it's much simpler. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mocher Almanat Lakutz. You can sell a tree if you're planning on chopping it down. And the Gemara explains, what's the problem with selling a tree in the land of Israel? Minahani Mili, where do we learn this from? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Da Amar Kra, he quotes the pasuk that we just learned in Devarim Perek Zayin. Lo Tichonem, Lo Titen Lem Chanaya Bakarka. And this is mitzvah number two. When we're talking about the mitzvot, problems of giving away parts of Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews, the first mitzvah is Yerushat Eretz Yisrael, to conquer rule Eretz Yisrael. The second mitzvah is a lo ta'aseh, lo tichonem. And by the way, there are a lot of mitzvot where you have an aseh and a lo ta'aseh. Anybody remember some mitzvot where there's also an aseh and also a lav, a lo ta'aseh, that are saying more or less the same things? Remember, it says regarding tzedakah. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, and it also says you're not allowed to close your hand. Okay, so there's a aseh, you have to give tzedakah. Lo ta'aseh, you're not allowed to close your hand. The same thing, returning a lost object. Hashiv tashiv is a positive commandment. Lo tuchal italem, you're not allowed to ignore the lost object, is a negative. When does there a positive and a negative?
I mean, just doubly important.
Exactly. Just like we said, a mitzvah which is reported many times is stressed specially. So too, if a mitzvah also is positive and also negative, that's a sign to stress the importance of this mitzvah. Now, the big question is here, is the isur of letting Gentiles live in the land of Israel?
It's giving them the land.
Or giving them the land, it would be the same, it's the same isur.
Like letting them live is like letting them like rent it out, letting them have like space here, but letting them like own the land is like they're able to make their own like country or school.
Oh, so what you're saying, it's a kal vachomer. We're going to see that even selling them even a little plot in the land of Israel is problematic. Kal vachomer, as Leora says, to mamash give them a state.
What's chanaya bekarka?
Chanaya is a resting place in the land, a parking place, or a resting place in the land. But the question is, does this only for the seven nations of Canaan, or is it all Gentiles? So let's look in the Rambam in Source 9. When he talks about the prohibition of selling land, selling houses to Gentiles, he writes, you see where it is in, where I underlined? Mafkia mina ma'asrot v'noten lehem chanaya bakarka. The problem is not just giving them a resting place in the land, but it's also, you are exempting that land from Trumot to Masrot. Because the non-Jews, they don't give Trumot to Masrot. They didn't fulfill all 58 of the agricultural mitzvot. And this is problem number three of giving away parts of Eretz Israel. Because if we were to give the West Bank to the Arabs, or if we gave Gaza to the Arabs, we are approving, or I shouldn't say approving, that's a little confusing, we are avoiding 58 agricultural mitzvot. In other words, if until now we were talking about the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael and the negative aspect, the second side of that same coin, right, not giving it away, a totally different aspect is to get to the agricultural mitzvot. If we give away part of the land of Israel, so we are getting rid, we are avoiding 58 agricultural mitzvot, and that's not good. We like to do mitzvot. That is our hobby. That is our obligation. And that is another problem. Now, if, according to point three, it's very clear, if the problem is avoiding mitzvot, that we won't be doing mitzvot if we give away the, everybody understand that we won't be giving trumot to masrot from that, from those places?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's the difference if it's from the seven nations or from the Arabs? Did you see that? There's no difference. And so again, we see that there's no difference between the seven nations and the Arabs. Halacha lema'aseh. There is a machloket. Just like regarding a lot of things. I remember before my first Gemara test in ninth grade, I was really nervous. And my older brother gave me a tip. He said, if the Rosh Hashiva asks you a question that you don't know the answer, just say it's a machloket.
Did you?
Yeah. And you're almost always right. It's a machloket. And so what is the halacha? We learn halacha from the Rav Yosef Karo.
Source 10, huh?
Yeah, source 10. You all heard of Rav Yosef Karo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he is the one who usually decides halacha. And he writes as follows. I should tell you one of the problems here. It says in the tour, and afterwards in the Beit Yosef, that you're not allowed to give land in Eretz Yisrael to Akum. What is Akum?
Non-Jews.
Oh. So literally, what does it stand for?
Ovdei Kochavim.
It literally means Ovdei Kochavim Umazalot. It is a code name used, like you said correctly, for non-Jews. The problem is, on this issue, maybe there are three possibilities. That the issue of giving away Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's just to the seven nations, or maybe it's just to idolaters, or maybe it's to any Gentile. Do you see the three possibilities?
Yeah.
Okay? So, the Beit Yosef clarifies. By the way, it's interesting. The term Akum was a censored term. The Goyim thought that the word Goy is a negative term, derogatory term. So there are in a lot of places, whenever it said the word Goy, they censored it out. Now you and I know, what does the word Goy literally mean?
Nations.
It means nations. And there are, I actually saw a Sidur by my Rebbe, Rav Chaim Drukman. He has an old Sidur from like 300 years ago, where it says in Tfilat Mincha for Shabbat. Remember, it says Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad Umi Ke'amcha Yisrael Akum Echad Ba'aretz.
Aren't we called Goy?
That's the funny thing.
Avraham
Avinu. We're called Nachan. That's the funny thing. The Goyim, they just wherever they saw the word Goy, they erased it and put in Akum. But the problem is, there's even a Rambam in Hilchot Avodah Zarah who talks about Akum She'ino Oved Kochavim. What is the law of an Akum? Literally means somebody who serves. What is the law of somebody who serves idols? Who doesn't serve idols?
I don't know. What is it?
But do you see the weird thing? In other words, that's a sentence that doesn't make sense. So here also, it says that you're not allowed to give Eretz Yisrael to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Again, is it referring to all Gentiles? Or is it referring to just those who serve idols? Or is it referring just to the seven nations? Right? Those are the three possibilities. So the Beit Yosef explains, love, when it says that you can't give Eretz Yisrael to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, love la'afuke Yishma'elim, this is not to exempt Arabs or Muslims. Because, you know, Muslims do not serve idols. Elulafuke ger toshav, but it's talking about as opposed to giving away the land to sell a house to a ger toshav, which is allowed. Dahainu shekibel lav sheva mitzvot b'nei noach. Somebody who was a ger toshav, who went to a beit din and accepted upon seva mitzvot b'nei noach, he, you are allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael. Vezer sha'anu mitzuvim lachyoto. That is talking about Gerei Toshav, that we have an obligation to help them even in the land of Israel. Aval Sha'ar Goyim, but all other nations, Kulam Din Echad Lahem. They all have the same halacha. In other words, there's no difference between Christians and Muslims and idol worshippers and Sheva Amei Canaan. Everyone has the same halacha that you're not allowed to.
You said that you're able to sell it.
That's only Ger Toshav. That's only somebody who officially accepted. We can't accept Gerin Toshavim today because there's no Yovel. You can only accept Gerin Toshavim when there's a Yovel.
Everyone has the same halacha of not being able to come into the land. Of
prohibiting us to give them land. Right? The first two points is that we're not allowed to give land, and we see who is that referring to. It's referring to all Gentiles.
Not just Otevo Zara.
Right. By the way, the third point also. If we're uprooting agricultural mitzvah, what's the difference if he's Oved Avodah Zara or not? Right? All three of these points are to all Gentiles. And this is Halacha L'Maaseh. That it does make a difference if a person is Oved Avodah Zarah or a Muslim, you are not allowed to give him parts of Eretz Yisrael. And the Shach, one of the important Achronim, who also summarizes the Halachot in Source 11, that was the Beit Yosef in Chosh Mishpat, Siman Resh Mem Tet. Now we're reading the Shach in Yoredeya, Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. He quotes the Beit Yosef. Katava Beit Yosef Bechoshen Mishpat, what we just quoted, Dechol Oved Kochavim Bimashma. It's talking about again. What does it mean, Oved Kochavim? Does it mean just somebody who bows down to idols, or is it talking about all Gentiles? Afilu Yishmael. Arabs are included.
Oh, even. I thought Afilu meant like except.
Okay. So, now, just to strengthen the point that you're not allowed to give away land in Eretz Yisrael to Arabs, this is the issue that the Haredim, the problem the Haredim have with the Heter Mechira during Shemitah. You learned a little about Shemitah?
Yeah, because you're helping the Arabs.
Right. You're not allowed to sell. Let's see it inside. Source 12. This is a psak from the Haredi Poskim, including Rav Kanevsky, who just passed away last week, and Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, who was actually a Zionist Posek. Many Gedolim oppose the Heter Mechira Davka because of our issue, because you're not allowed to give Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. Hinenu legalot bazeh. He said, here they say we are revealing da'atenu, da'at Torah, da'at. The opinion of the Torah, she'asur limkor karka o bayit be'eretz Yisrael legoy. You're not allowed to sell a land or a field or a house in Eretz Yisrael to any non-Jew. Afilu she'eino oved avodah zarah ol yishmaeli. It doesn't make a difference. If he's Christian or Arab, it doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to give land in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. Afilu b'makom hefsed gadol v'shat adchak. Even if, like in the case of Shemitah, where it's a problem, what are we going to do during Shemitah? Shedat kol rishonim she'asur limkor karka be'eretz Yisrael legoy. Because all the Rishonim agree that you're not allowed to sell land of Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Shelo kibel alav sheva mitzvot bnei noach as a ger toshav. And the Arabs never did. No Arab is a ger toshav. And accordingly, so the question is, so how is the Heter Mechira done? If we see that all of this
contradicts the Heter Mechira. The whole idea of the Heter Mechira is that we do temporarily sell the land of Israel to an Arab in order to let Jews work the land during Shemitah, sort of like selling the Chametz during Pesach.
What their chief rabbinate does is they sell it temporarily. They sell the land for 2 years for Shemitah and 1 year afterwards. Also, they just sell the top three tfachim, the top soil, so as that it's not really selling the land of Eretz Yisrael. And also, the whole Heter Mechira is in order to strengthen the Jewish control of Eretz Yisrael. Because if Jewish farmers can't work the land, we're going to lose the land. And this is really the goal of the mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael and Lo Tichonem. The goal of the mitzvah is to strengthen our control. And if we can't work the land, right, if every 7 years Spain or England or America tells us, we're not going to buy your produce every 6 years and have to look for another supplier in the seventh year, it doesn't work that way in modern economics. So therefore, Bekitzur, we see very clearly that this is the halakha lemaaseh, that lo tichonim, the prohibition of giving away Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews, is to all non-Jews. And this is accepted by, as we saw, by the Rishonim and the Achronim. Another mitzvah, which comes into issue, pretty soon we'll see Rav Avadya Yosef, who says that you are allowed to give land in exchange for peace. But there's one last point. Source 13. Where it talks about, in the context of Shemitah, in Vayikra Kafei, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Ve'aretz lo timacher litzmitut. You're not allowed to sell the land of Israel forever. What does that mean, to sell the land of Israel forever? The Sefer HaChinuch, Source 14, explains, Uperush ha-katuv ken lo timkor lemi sheyachzik ba le'olam. You're not allowed to sell the land of Israel to anyone who will not return the land during Yovel. You all know what Yovel is.
Every 50 years,
it goes back to the original owner. Vezeu ankoi. But if we sell land to non-Jews, they're not going to give it. Nachan. But nevertheless, it's... No. But nevertheless, the Isur of Lo Timacher Litzmitut still applies. It's an eternal mitzvah, like all the 630 mitzvot, that you're not allowed to sell the land to a non-Jew, because if next year the Yovel returns, he's not going to give it back. And this is problem number 4. Haaretz Lo Timacher Litzmitut. You're not allowed to sell the land to a non-Jew who will not return the land even when Yovel returns. So what we've seen till now is most poskim say you are not allowed to give away part of Eretz Yisrael, and it's an Isur Doraita. So why does Rav Avadya Yosef say that you are allowed? Let's look in Source 16. Lebriut. This is a summary of his article in Tchumin. Hamuram mikola amur. He says, to summarize everything that we said, she'im yidbarer lemala mikol safek. If it is totally clear, without any doubt, she'yeh shalom emet, that it will be a true peace beinenu levein shcheinenu ha'aravim, between us and our Arab neighbors, im yuchzuru lehem ha'shtachim, if we give them parts of Eretz Yisrael, ulu matzot, on the other hand, if it's clear, shekayemet sakanat milchama miyadit, there is an immediate danger if we don't give Yehuda v'Shomron to the Arabs, im lo yuchzuru lehem ha'shtachim, he says, yesh lachzir lahem ha'shtachim. In a case where it's very clear that we will get real peace, and if we don't give them what they want, they will immediately open up a war, he says you're allowed to give them. Mishum she'en lecha davar ha'omed b'pnei pikuach nefesh. Because nothing stands in the place of pikuach nefesh. We all know that we drive in an ambulance on Shabbat because of Pikuach Nefesh. If the doctor says we have to eat on Yom Kippur, we do so because of Pikuach Nefesh. So we have to deal seriously with this issue. After speaking to the high officers in the army and the top politicians, hamumchim b'inyanei bitachon, who specialize in the issue of security, v'chetorah yaaseh, and we will do as they say. Rav Avadia is saying that just like you ask a doctor who's a specialist regarding eating on Yom Kippur, so too you should ask the officers and the politicians who are in charge of security to know whether the Arabs really will give us true peace, and if not, whether it will cost Jewish lives. Now, like I said before, parenthetically, today we know that they were not really talking about real peace. Yeah, what
do you want to say? But like in Gush Katif, for example, like weren't a lot of people getting killed by the Arabs because they lived so close?
Yeah.
So they weren't getting killed anymore if they gave away the land and moved out. So it's that.
Yeah, but then that just brought them closer to Jewish, like other Jewish settlements.
Right.
Like what your community does for people on the outskirts. They, like,
yeah. Yeah, like I said before, the problem with a lion is if you give him meat,
right,
you're not pacifying his needs and it'll leave you alone. You're just showing him where he's going to get his next meal from. And in fact, if you look at the terrorism, when we started talking about giving away land for peace,
yeah,
in Oslo, that was the most terrorism that the state of Israel has ever known. Because the Arabs saw, let's push them a little more, and they'll retreat a little more. And Dafka, that's the greatest proof that even Rav Avadia Yosef, in the end, he himself said that you can't give them land for peace. By the way, it's interesting to, I'll read for you, the PLO adopted in June 8th, 1974, the phased plan. What is the phased plan? This plan calls for the acceptance of PLO authority in part of Israel, the West Bank, to be used as a platform for a military attack to destroy Israel entirely. In other words, the whole idea, they themselves said it was just a first phase.
What, Gush Katif or Oslo?
Anything, Oslo. And so in the end, it turns out very clear that even Rav Avadia Yosef himself said that you're not allowed to give it away. But nevertheless, halakhically, the question is, so why, if it's so obvious, you know, every 10-year-old knows that pikuach nefesh supersedes all mitzvot, apparently it supersedes conquering Eretz Yisrael and Lo Techonen, right? That's the obvious question.
No, so why do you live there? Because you would put yourself in danger to protect them.
What do you mean?
Like, you said that, like, conquering the land and, like, staying in the land. Like, that's a nechama.
That's the minchat chinuch.
So, like, you have to...
Pikuach nefesh comes before mechamet mitzvah, or no?
Oh, that's what Rav Avadia says. The problem is...
Then you would have no war then.
Exactly. That's the minchat chinuch and the netziv in sources 17 and 18. Basically, what you're saying is, you know, let me give an analogy. Say somebody kills somebody, and he's brought to Sanhedrin, and there are two witnesses, and the Sanhedrin sentences him to skila, right? He's put to death. What would you say if this guy would tell the Sanhedrin, you can't put me to death, because putting me to death is dangerous?
How would it be dangerous?
What?
Why would it be dangerous?
Because when you put someone to death, you're killing him.
It's dangerous. You don't want to be pikuach nefesh.
Right. What would you answer this guy? You don't understand the question? Yeah.
So then he deserved gimel.
Yeah, but he's saying, you can't put me to death.
Because that's
killing me. And you're not allowed to kill somebody. You're not. That's dangerous.
Yeah, but
and we said pikuach nefesh supersedes everything.
But if he killed someone, that's part of the... He shouldn't be...
Exactly. The definition of chiyuv mita If somebody is chayav skila, sreifa, herig, v'chenek, if the Sanhedrin says a person deserves death, that is the definition. By definition, that punishment supersedes pikuach nefesh. You can't say pikuach nefesh in a case where you're chayav mita.
Yeah.
Because that is the definition of that mitzvah. The definition of the mitzvah of Sanhedrin putting someone to death is that, in that case, it supersedes pikuach nefesh. The same thing regarding melchemet mitzvah. Let's see it inside.
Wait. I have a question.
Yeah.
But then, wouldn't it have been like... For like pidyon shvuyim, like redeeming captives, and isn't it like pikuach nefesh to like get him back to release terrorists?
That's a different question, because you're releasing terrorists who will come tomorrow. We know for a fact that many of them came back to killing other Jews. That's a separate issue. But here we're talking about, is there such a thing as a mitzvah that supersedes pikuach nefesh? In addition to the three cardinal sins, also Melchemet Mitzvah. How do we know? Let's look in the Minchat Chinuch in Source 17. You know, let's start with the Netziv in Source 18. I think it's even a little more clear. But it's really the same thing. The Minchat Chinuch in Parshat Etchanan Mitzvah Tav Chaf Hei, and also the Netziv in Masechet Eruvin, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, U'Be'emet Mutar LeMelech LiLachem Afilu Melchemet Rashut. Right, we saw that there even is such a concept of Milchemet Rashut. Right? An optional war to go up and conquer Saudi Arabia, to go and conquer America. The king, he doesn't worry that some of the soldiers are going to be killed. I mean, in every mitzvah, in every milchama, there are casualties on both sides. So how can a king go to milchem, any kind of milchama, milchemet mitzvah, milchemet rashut, how can the Torah allow milchama? The difference is that the danger in war is different from any other danger in halacha. Regarding the mitzvah of milchemet mitzvah, there is no, you don't say pikuach nefesh supersedes, because that's the definition. If the definition of milchemet mitzvah is you have to go and charge in front of a cannon, even if they're shooting at you, okay, so that is the definition of the mitzvah. And that's what the Minchat Chinuch writes in Source 17 also. Is that point clear? That's very important. Yeah. And the Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook in Source 19 also writes that. He says that, what about Rav Avadia's question, Source 19, Binyan Shleimut Eretz Yisrael, Haim Ein Litchashev B'matzavei Pikuach Nefesh? What about Pikuach Nefesh? If Jews will be saved from terrorism if we give the Arabs Yehuda V'Shomron, answer Rav Tzvi Yehuda, pikuach nefesh kayam b'chol milchama. Part of every war is danger. And if the Torah tells us that there is a war, that there is a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael, like we saw, well, that means that this mitzvah supersedes pikuach nefesh. By definition, that's the definition of going to war. In other words, not only the three cardinal sins, and you know what, he even goes on and says even more. Regarding the three cardinal sins, this we saw by regarding Mordechai, who did not bow down to Haman, right? Remember, Haman's had this little idol on his clothing or around his neck, and Mordechai got him very angry and did not bow down to him. So the question is, what did all the other rabbis do? Just as Mordechai didn't bow down, what about all the other rabbis? No, you're not allowed to. Right, it's one of the three cardinal sins. So what did they do?
I remember they were thinking that they weren't like bowing down, they were bowing like...
They ran away. They saw Haman coming, they went across to the other side of the street.
So what did Mordechai do?
Mordechai Davka wanted to make a point that I'm not going to bow down to Haman, lo yichrav ve lo yishtachaveh, in his face. But the halacha is, regarding the three cardinal sins, you have to try and avoid the situation. You don't stand in front of a cannon and say, shoot me, I will not bow down to the idol. Run away. You understand that?
Yeah.
But, regarding this mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael, Aval mitzvah zu shel kibush Eretz Yisrael, the last line of source 19, v'shilton Eretz Yisrael, and ruling over, that's our issue, ruling over the land of Israel, he al dat mesirut nefesh. But the definition of conquering Eretz Yisrael means that it supersedes pikuach nefesh. That's the definition. Now, just to finish up, we can't talk about this sugya without dealing with a good question. Source 20. You give me another 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Because anybody who learned Sefer Melachim asked the following question. We see in source 20, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Tet, it says that Hiram, the king of Lebanon, helped Shlomo build the Beit HaMikdash, Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayetzei Hiram Yitzur Yud Aleph. Hiram Melech Tzor Nisa at Shlomo Batzei Arazim Vatzei Berushim Ubezav Lechol Chertzo, Az Yiten HaMelech Shlomo LeChiram Esrim Ir Be'eretz HaGalil. Shlomo gave Hiram 20 cities in the Galil, which seems to contradict everything that we've said.
Could that be that was what David conquered?
No. Because it's in the Galil. That good educated guess, but it doesn't work. So, but we'll just finish off. Pasuk Yedbet, Vayetzei Hiram Mitzor Lirot Et Ha'arim, and Hiram went to see these 20 cities that Shlomo gave him. Asher Natan Lo Shlomo, Vilo Yashru Beinav. He didn't like the cities. They were bad cities. Bad land. Vayomer Maharim Ma'ele Asher Natat Liyachi. My brother, what are these bad cities that you gave me? Vayikra Lehem Eretz Kavul. And he called them the land that I don't want. Ad Hayom Hazeh. In other words, he didn't want these cities. But the question is, how did Shlomo give them these cities? So one of the commentaries, first of all, the first most simple explanation is that Shlomo did a lot of chataim. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Shlomo has no share in Olam Haba. And in the end, it takes it back. But Shlomo, wives did Avodah Zarah.
He had too much money, too much horses.
Also. Nechon, Shlomo was not a total tzaddik. And one of the commentaries is, here also, he didn't follow the halacha. But there's also a second answer. And this is dafki even more interesting. Source 22. In Divrei HaYamim Bet, is that we see the exact opposite. Ve'he'arim asher natan chiram l'shlomo, bana shlomo utam, vayoshev sham et bnei Yisrael. It says that Hiram gave cities to Shlomo. It doesn't say Shlomo gave cities to Hiram. Do you all see the contradiction?
No, but I thought it said it. He did give it to him.
Oh, so that's what the question is. Here it says the opposite, that Hiram gave cities to Shlomo. So one possibility is, let's look in the Ralbag, Source 21. Kvarnis kar b'sefer divrei ayamim, what we just read in Source 22, ki Hiram natan gam ken l'shlomo ayarot, that just like Shlomo gave cities to Hiram, Hiram gave cities to Shlomo, Hoshiv b'hem et b'nei Yisrael, v'ra'ui haya liyot ken. Obviously, Hiram had to give cities to Shlomo. Ki lo yitachen le'melech lema'et Eretz Yisrael. Just like we've been talking about the whole shiur, you're not allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. So how did Shlomo do what he did? The Ralbag is saying, well, Hiram gave even more cities to Shlomo. Another possibility is what Leora said, that Shlomo gave him bad cities that he knew he wouldn't want. And he wasn't really giving them away. It was just like a trick. But those are the different explanations. One thing for sure, we see that it is a problem to give away parts of Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. And by the way, here it wasn't for peace, because Shlomo was a lot stronger than Hiram. Hiram was an ally. But nevertheless, Shlomo, either he did an Avera, or he knew that Hiram wouldn't take the cities, or it was an what?
He did take the cities?
Hiram did not take the cities.
That's why Divrei Yomim says he basically gave it back?
No, Divrei Yomim says that Hiram gave Shlomo cities, that it was some kind of exchange. And that's what the Ralbag says. The Ralbag says that would have been okay, because we're getting more than we're giving him. That's how the Rabbag explains it.
I don't understand how it justifies the fact that he gave him cities.
So one explanation is, you're right, it doesn't. That's that he was over in Avera. That's the first explanation. The second explanation is that they had some kind of exchange, but Shlomo wanted to trick Hiram, that Hiram gave Shlomo cities, and in exchange, Shlomo gave him bad cities that he didn't want. Correct. Right, so Shlomo really wasn't giving it away.
Giving him the option, but he knew what he did.
Yeah, and maybe that also wasn't right. But to summarize, as we see in... we don't have time to get into that.
Is something new, or like...
It's a different topic. Okay, so basically we understand now why most of the poskim held that you're not allowed to give away parts of Eretz Yisrael, even in exchange for peace, because it's part of conquering the land of Israel, and conquering the land of Israel, by definition, supersedes Pikuach Nefesh. Okay?
Thank you.